Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is the Best Ever You Show, and I'm your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. And I hope you're having a great summer. It's almost coming to an end here. The kiddos are going back to school, and that means mommy time, which means I can be back on the radio because, as you know, I have four kids, and they have been home all summer, and we've spent a good share of the summer in South Carolina playing baseball at the Ripken Experience, which is really neat. Maine came in fourth out of 22 teams. So that was just a great experience, and we've been gone for a month, and we're coming back home now, and here we go with our first guest kicking off our fall season. I am pleased to welcome Darlene Fridakis. She is the president and COO of Pet Ag, as in agriculture. Need to clarify that. You can follow along on the internet if you want to with her website, which is petag.com. And she's a pioneer in the pet industry. Really neat person. She specialized in the development and invention of products devoted to enhancing and improving pet health for more than 25 years. I'm fascinated by all of your CEO experience, and welcome, Darlene.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth. It's so nice to be on your show. I really appreciate you inviting me.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, pets are near and dear. You know, we just launched a contest with you today on Best Ever You, where people can post their photos and videos of their animals and say, you know, why pets are the best and why they think their pet is the best. And you guys are just going to give away a ton of stuff to our listeners and readers and so forth, and I thank you for that.
Yes, it's a great contest. Thank you for posting it. And also, pets are part of the family. You know, they were part of my family growing up as well, and everyone loves their pets, and they're just like your brothers, your sisters, and your children.
I can remember being a kid with my dog. I had a dog named Sam, a black lab, and I can remember as a kid going, "Can't you talk? I just want you to talk once." This is funny.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, many of us, we love our pets so much because they don't talk back. The opposite end of the scale. And we can tell them things, and they're great listeners.
Yeah. That's the flip side of it as you age and have some kids of your own, right? They're peaceful
right,
with
absolutely.
Your cats and dogs because they don't
mm-hmm.
talk. Now, pets. Are you talking like dogs, cats, or are we talking like chickens, cows, horses, snakes? What kind of pets do you specialize in?
We specialize in all types of pets, actually. We have products that are produced for dogs, for cats, for birds, for horses, for seals and whales.
Really?
And then also on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have chickens and cows that benefit from some of our products. And so primarily our product line consists of supplements for pets and for animals, or mammals as we put them. We've specialized in the development of newborn pet, senior pet, and farm animal products for many, many years. The company actually has been in business for 75 years. So with our first product line, Esplac, which is a neonatal pet milk replacer, and it's an infant formula for newborn pets. Just as you feed your babies, we have baby products for pets.
Oh.
Yes.
That's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
So do you mean like if you had a little kitten, you would feed him something like that?
Yes,
that
absolutely. If you had a newborn kitten, many of the newborn kittens, they don't accept their mother's milk all that well, or the mother can't feed the kittens. So you need to give them something extra. And our particular product is a infant formula for newborn pets. And we actually invented the category of neonatal nutrition and sought to be the leader in that particular category, and we're always making advancements in the category. We have everything you need to care and feed an orphan animal.
That's so neat.
Some of our orphan animals, not only are puppies and kittens, but they range to wildlife, and then also as I was saying previously, baby whales, seals, mm-hmm. Animals in need of extra supplementation.
Huh. That's fascinating. All three of our kitty cats were orphan animals. We've gotten them as little tiny kittens we got them in an alley. We were just walking there, and there was this little cat underneath a box. We've adopted them from shelters and things like that, and we always wondered when we brought them home, how do you get this little kitten healthy? So that's interesting. Really?
Yeah,
interesting.
It is an adoption. I'm a big advocate of adoption because I myself was adopted as well, and uh-huh. The need to find good, loving homes for pets without homes is so very, very important. You know, always think adoption first.
That's
when
looking
to add a pet to your family.
Yeah, the shelters are packed with, we'll go all over the place in this conversation, I'm sure. But, the shelters are packed with animals that they find or are unwanted for, somebody develops an allergy to or something like that. But we always have, all of our cats have been shelter cats. That's a very, very good point.
Thing.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling than giving a homeless pet a great home.
Yeah.
And family, a new family.
Yeah, definitely. We have a really big dog, too, and she's a Labradoodle. So I love pets, so it's fun to have you on. I have a question, though, for you. Is this something that you've always done? How did you get to where you are today, serving as the president and COO, which is chief operating officer of this company? Did you? I hear rawhide somewhere in your background too. Can you explain how you got to where you are?
Yeah, that was my first business, but yes, I'll tell you a little bit about how the whole thing started. And interrupt at any time and ask questions. And my love of pets started from when I was a young girl. My father was a big animal lover, and he brought home every pet imaginable to man
I was
a child, and helped me learn how to take care of pets. And the pets, because I was an only child, I grew up with pets as my brothers and sisters. I had no brothers and sisters growing up, unfortunately, but I did have lots of pets. And
I'm going to interrupt you for a minute because I was in the middle of 11 kids. And so I'm on the opposite spectrum, and my pets were the quiet ones.
See, that's great. You grew up in a big family.
huge family. And, every stray cat that came along was mine. And my mom would be like, oh, no, I can't do that. No more, kind of thing. And I just love animals. So, but anyway, isn't that funny how we have different backgrounds? I think everybody has a love for animals somewhere in them, no matter what your background. Isn't that neat?
Definitely. And really, caring for animals helps you develop kindness towards others, and they're such great companions for the elderly as well. It's been proven that they help, the minds and well-being of elderly people, and it's just wonderful. It gives them a reason to live, and caring for pets is just an excellent thing for them.
Yeah, well, I love that story. With you, you said you were adopted, and they're just your. You can tell it's in you. So, okay, keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. And when I was younger, I was always involved in competitive sports. So, kind of in your question, and how did it lead me to get into this particular type of business? I definitely was a competitor. I was involved in ice skating primarily, but I would schedule myself to the 10th degree before high school, after high school. I always had something going on, and the more the better, especially for my parents, because us parents, we want to make sure that our kids are not spending their time entirely socializing, that they're involved in productive activities. So, my hectic schedule actually made me a much better time manager, because as a child, it's very difficult to develop time management skills. So, just splitting things off into bite-sized pieces can work really well in managing a busy lifestyle. And competition taught me so many things, and the most important things were that, you know, you enjoy yourself. You just have to enjoy yourself. You can't be so caught up in winning. Winning is not as important as how you feel along the way and who you meet, and you know, just participating is so important in competitive sports. And you mentioned being down in the Carolinas and being, you know, into sports there. So, you know, it's just such a wonderful thing to develop your overall well-being as a child, I think.
I think so, too. And I think that it, as long as you're not crazy about winning, like you just said, we ran into some teams down there that, you know, it was like a win-at-all-cost kind of situation, and they didn't win, I think, because of that.
Definitely.
But isn't that wild? And I was going to add to your point, too. I can tell in your personality and makeup, even just talking a little bit that we have, that you're a big supporter of other women, too. I think that's so important to recognize other women and support other women in their journey as well, and not, you know, be a woman destroyer. You know, and you know those.
No, not
too,
at all.
Especially,
you know, it doesn't do any good to really destroy anyone.
Well, exactly, you know, but you know what I mean.
Building them up will only help you in the long run. It really is. You're so right about that. Absolutely.
It's women tend to have a competitive thing, and it's not needed.
No, it really isn't. It really isn't. And you just have to strive to be the best you can be. And if someone else is doing well, you need to appreciate and respect, you know, their position as well, and, you know, really support them as much as you can, too. So, and, you know, reading self-help books always helped me as I was, you know, growing up as well. I started reading self-help books in my early teens. And, you know, one of my favorites is one by Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics, and it helps you to build a positive self-image. And if you have a positive self-image, you can really, you know, respect others. Mm-hmm. You won't have that jealousy and, you know, that feeling that you need to win and, you know, and you do anything to get there. But you need to respect other people's positions.
exactly.
And, you know, cataloging small, positive, uplifting experiences in life worked so well for me. You can train your mind to visualize a situation in a positive way as opposed to a negative way. Yeah. It's really all a matter of perception and visualization. I think drive comes from encouragement and many positively perceived experiences.
Mm-hmm.
If you write down your goals and aspirations as action plans, you know, with steps needed to achieve them, review them regularly, it'll definitely help them come to life. And so self-help books and training seminars were great for me, but actually how I got into this pet business was kind of unique. I just had graduated college, and my I was working retail. I worked retail throughout
I did too.
College and also high school, for that matter.
I know that drill.
Yeah, you've been there too, huh? Long hours, little pay.
Low pay. Yeah, my background is all retail, actually, up until, you know, my mid-20s. Yeah. After college. I did retail all through high school and college, too. There's a great background in dealing with people.
Yeah, it is. It is a really good background because you have to solve all different types of problems because there's always issues that arrive at retail, for sure. And you're working with quite a few women because women dominate the retail industry, whereas in the pet industry, when I started, there was very few women. It was a male-dominated industry. But it didn't take a lot of courage for me, really, to start my own business. My father and uncle proposed an idea, and I was working in retail in 12-hour days in retail management. And it was just, you know, a lot of work, and it was great. I loved it, but it was better to work for yourself. It's always better to work for yourself. And so I just jumped right into it. I knew nothing about the manufacturing and marketing of pet products when I started at 24 years of age. Nothing at all. I was offered the opportunity. I took the opportunity. I created a sink or swim situation for myself, because no one wants to really, you know, sink in the water. They want to swim. They want to stay afloat and survive. You know, it's the survival of the fittest.
Oh, yeah.
Fear is the best self-motivator. It really is when getting into business. And people wonder, well, you know, how did you do it? You knew nothing about that business. Well, you learn. You learn. You learn by research. You learn by making mistakes. And you also learn that making mistakes are okay. You can learn so much from making mistakes. You just try to not to make big, costly ones that'll put you out of business. You know, if you make little mistakes, that's okay, because you learn from them. And within every problem, you can find a little bright light. You know, you can a little. There's always a solution. There aren't any problems without solutions at all. And being in the pet business, there just was a demand for the pet products. And my uncle and father. My uncle. It was a great entrepreneur, as was my dad, and they loved to find these new niche little ideas, and they, you know, they loved pets themselves, so they said, well, why don't you do this, because they had other, you know, business activities that they were involved in, so they stuck me in the middle of it, and I had to learn everything I could about it, so I did a lot of research, and instead of working 12-hour days, they were more like
24-hour
days,
with very
little sleep. And, you know, I was just starting to have a family, so it was difficult, but I was very lucky to have a really supportive mom, and she helped me a lot, so that was very, very good, because you can always trust your parents to, you know, watch your children for you, and, you know, your sisters, in your case, you have lots of sisters and brothers, so that's neat.
Yeah, definitely.
You can have lots of babysitters, nieces, nephews.
Oh, yeah, but so what was the product that you designed? Was it this, or was it called something else at the time?
Well, it was actually, my original business was called Rawhide Brand. It was the Rawhide Dog Chew products, and I was coming up with innovative designs for dogs, because rawhide is known by, you know, or is thought by some veterinarians to not be good for dogs, because they can, you know, bite off chunks and potentially have blockage and things of that nature due to that, especially large breed dogs. And I sought out to make the highest quality chew that would be safe or safer for dogs. And, you know, with any chew, you have to monitor your dog's activity periodically, because you don't want to leave anything to chance with your pet, because your pet is the most valuable thing to you.
Oh, yeah.
Family members, like your child. You don't want to leave your child alone with something, you know, for a long period of time.
Okay, I got to stop you again, because I'm fascinated for a second. So you are the one who did Rawhide Brand. That's you.
Right.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Exactly.
And we came up with, I came up with some methods to tie the knot, and patented the method to tie a knot in a specific way, so it would take longer for the dog to chew it, and they couldn't bite off little pieces. And it just the product is just really very good quality. And then also the method of infusing the product with glucosamine and with flavoring agents, so that the flavor remains in the product for the length of the time the dog chews the product. A lot of the products in the market now are basted; they're only surface coated, whereas ours are marinade, and the, you know, the flavoring is throughout the chew. And so then the chunky chew for the big dogs, as I was saying before, big dogs really chew through things quickly and are aggressive chewers. And so the chunky chew product line is the best product line, and the only product line you should give a very large dog, because it takes them so much longer to chew through it. The amount of product or amount of rawhide used is significant, and it's also infused with glucosamine, so it's not only all natural, but it's all natural and then glucosamine infused. And large breeds are prone to hip and joint disorders, so glucosamine is really good for large breed dogs as a preventative measures. You use the glucosamine, so that's good. And that's how I got into it, and I built up the business, and you know, it was you know, it was learn as you go kind of thing. And I was very lucky, because I had wonderful, wonderful customers that, you know, really stuck by my side. And I had, you know, wonderful workers. And And, right. you know, it's just really so important to surround yourself with great people.
Positive. Yeah, oh, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And okay, so now with the Rawhide brand, does that carry over into pet ag? Is that
yes,
part
yes.
of it? Okay.
Yes, as a matter of fact, my company was acquired by Pet Ag in 1991, and I, along with myself, along with my partner George Gill and his wife Sally Gill, acquired Pet Ag from Milk Specialties, the company that actually acquired Pet Ag. So, Rawhide brand. So, yeah, so it was an evolution, if you will, of acquisitions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really nice, and, you know, I became a part of the Pet Ag family when Rawhide brand was acquired by Pet Ag as a product line and quickly became vice president of sales and marketing for all of Pet Ag, and then became president and then COO of Pet Ag mm-hmm. in 1995. So, and then in 1999, we acquired Pet Ag from Milk Specialties. It was a wholly owned, operating as a wholly owned subsidiary of Milk Specialties. And we acquired the company from Milk Specialties. Yes. So, and now and with Pet Ag, we are the leaders in health and nutrition products for pets. And we have a broad array of products for pets in every stage of the life cycle. And we our real specialties are in newborn and senior pets because we have products specific to both newborns and aging pets. So, yeah.
Okay.
And
So I've got a bunch of questions now. Sorry, it's just my nature. With Pet Ag, okay, with this business, let's just go to the business side of things for a while. You can walk into a pet store and see a billion different things. I mean, probably literally a billion different things for your animal. Uh-huh. How do you know what's good for an animal or, you know, quote, you know, unquote, you know, bad for an animal or so-so or okay? There, you know, it's even more, you know, there's more choices than almost like, or the same like a grocery store for a human being. How do you know what's good?
Well, you depend on, you know, others. Veterinarian recommendation is really important. Mm-hmm. If, you know, you have a close relationship with your vet, you should always be taking your pet to the vet for annual checkups just to make sure, you know, something doesn't pop up. It's great preventative care. It's just like going for your annual physical. Mm-hmm. And vets often recommend products. Our products are all vet-recommended products, and, you know, the vets are really behind our products. Also, when you go to adopt a pet from a shelter, we do a lot with shelters as well, and, you know, they've tried our products and used our products, and, you know, we have a program for shelters where they can redeem products, free products, actually. It's called a Frequent Buyers Club, and shelters participate, and anyone with pets can participate in it, and they can redeem their barcodes on product for actual free product. But our products, a lot of them have been around for many, many, many years, and they just keep improving and improving. And, you know, some of the relatively new products, we have to make sure we get them to the veterinarian so that they can, you know, utilize them and recommend them. And then specific user groups for products, like our senior products, for example, our Catcher, they're called Catcher and Dogsure. And then we also have a line of gel supplements, which are very, very palatable. And they each one is for a different type of solution. We have joint solution. We have Energel, which is an energy solution and replaces lost energy in pets. We have various hairball remedies and all of this, and you know, our name stands for itself. You can really rely on Pet Ag products to be the very best quality products you can find in the marketplace. And, you know, we're doing a lot more now with reaching out through the Internet, and, you know, we're now on Facebook and Twitter and trying to educate consumers as to why our products are so great. And certain products, such as our Bennyback Plus, it's the leading probiotic recommended by veterinarians, and it now we've added a prebiotic to help boost the efficacy of the probiotic. You know, an infant animal is born without bacteria in its gut, So this particular product is an immunity booster, and it helps replace the lost, you know, the lack of bacteria, because you do have to have the good bacteria. And the product has 7 strains of microorganisms and naturally occurring microorganisms, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful product, and it is the top probiotic in the market. And we're all familiar with probiotics for ourselves, because, you know, after, you know, we're on antibiotics, or actually even before antibiotic therapy, you have to take a probiotic so you could replace the lost good bacteria.
Yeah.
So
yogurt type stuff.
Yogurt type stuff. You got it. Exactly.
All right.
And Benny Beck has also been known to cure a hangover or two, too.
I was going to ask you. Okay, I have a really funny question. I don't know if it's funny. It's funny to me, so that's one.
Okay, so
we have cats, you know, and you open up a can of cat food, and the kids will go, oh, gross, you know, that kind of thing. They think it's disgusting. And so I said to my 9-year-old the other day, if that was the last thing on the earth to eat, would you eat it? And he's like, no. And I said, do you think it's good for the cat, you know, kind of thing. If PetEgg were the last thing on the universe to eat, would you ever eat it? I mean, I've seen my husband eat dog food.
Yes, because our pet actually tastes good. As a matter of fact, we have our Dog Slim family of products that's to address obesity in pets.
Yeah.
Dog Slim is a line of supplements and treat products that we have. And even Benny Beck, definitely. The tree products taste so good. When we go to trade shows, people eat them.
Well, yeah, I wondered. Yeah, I'm like, how do you know this tastes okay?
We have one with pumpkin. There's 3 different types of treats in the Dog Slim line, and one actually has the locale tree. It's called Dog Slim Locale, but it has pumpkin in it, and it is so good. So good.
That's funny.
And
then
the other one has vegetables and fruits, and actual real vegetable and fruit fiber, and these things, they're just wonderful. And then our newest, the sweet potato, is awesome too. So sweet potato and rice, it's really good. So yeah, you can eat them. You know, we have to say, you know, by law, not recommended for human consumption, but all of our products are safe. You know, very safe. So
now,
yeah.
If you have a dog and the dog is just constantly, you know, trying to eat all of your people food, like we have the great sandwich thief in our house. She will always try and grab your sandwich no matter what you do. And sometimes she's successful at it because the kids are only so high and she's that high too. But if you have a dog that, given the choice between people food and his or her own dog food, and they don't eat the dog food ever, what do you do with that? I know we're getting some questions here. So,
it's best for the
dog food?
Because they get the vitamins they need, because their systems are different than ours, and they need specific vitamins and minerals. But if you see that your pet is eating more table food, you really need, it's super important to give them supplementation. And, you know, that's where our products come in, because we have, you know, great, great supplements to help build immunity and also help build, you know, strength and energy and all of this, you know. So, and they have vitamins and minerals, the appropriate amounts of vitamins and minerals meant for animals. But, yes, if the dog is eating a lot of table food, you definitely need to supplement them. It's best for them not to, though, because they don't get the necessary vitamins. Unless you're really doing a good job of supplementing them, they're not getting what they need. So supplementation is very important.
And if they flat out just don't like that dog food, do you just change dog food or, you know, or just some dogs? Okay, just it must be.
What
you're best off
going with an all natural food. Natural and, you know, organics are always good. If, you know, it's sometimes they're hard to find, but organic foods are really good.
I'm going to keep asking
you
questions.
Now there's raw food, you know, there's raw foods now that are coming out into the marketplace and doing quite well. So the natural and organics piece of the industry is growing quite rapidly. So, yeah, there's a definite surge towards that. But supplementation is always needed, and food, because of the process it goes through, especially food that is, that is dry, your dry type dog food or extruded type food, you definitely need supplementation along with that, because the extrusion process sometimes diminishes the efficacy of the vitamins and minerals. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep reading a few questions here from listeners. A listener asks, can you buy your pet food in the pet store, or does it have to come from a veterinarian? And if it comes from the veterinarian, is it at an affordable price point?
Yes. Our product is available both through veterinary clinics and through pet stores. And yes, both are at affordable price points. And they're very similar. Price points are very similar. I mean, they don't vary much. We sell through wholesale distribution to the vet marketplace and then also the retail pet stores as well. And soon they'll be able to buy our products at retail at our website, www.petamp.com.
Oh, nice.
So that our online store will launch October 1st.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So we're really excited about that, because it'll give us a good opportunity to speak with our consumers and learn more about what they need, what they want, what they're looking for, and it's great.
Yeah.
The more people we can help, the better.
Oh, absolutely. And, the one thing I love about what you said, too, I can tell you must be somewhere in there must be some speaking in your background, because you almost sound like a motivational speaker as well. And I think that must be part of you, because it sounds like you're writing a book, which is cool. And it doesn't sound like it's about pet products. It sounds like it's about a completely other topic.
It is. It is about other topics. It is. Definitely. It's about what I wanted to do with writing a book is to discuss the lessons I learned in life and in different stages, because you learn so many different things at different times in your life, and I just want to pass them along in a
yeah.
humorous way, in a way that's not, threatening at all. It's just, some suggestions, and, by no means will it work for everybody, but as long as I can pass
okay.
things along and what I've learned,
surprised.
I just like to share, that's all.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised. I have a theory that if you can just help one, you've done your job. It's amazing how people really appreciate one-on-one help and success stories, because, when you share your success, people do definitely learn. They learn new ways of doing things.
And they might not take your advice exactly, that they parlay off of it, or
right,
exactly.
They take what they need and leave the rest, or take none of it and say that was great. But
that's how I learned. I learned from self-help books too. I mean, as at an early age, and then experiences after that. But
I get it. Now, okay, so you not only have this amazing career, but you also have three kids.
One is the husband. But he is like a child. He really is. He doesn't like to think so, but
we all know better
in our family.
Exactly. Okay, so two kids. I know we were kind of joking around about that. So two kids, are they following in your footsteps with all of the pet interests and things like that?
Both of them love pets, but they're not following in my interests, no. My son actually follows in my husband's interest and works with my husband and numismatics, and it's the coin and jewelry industry. And my daughter is still in college and, is deciding what she'd like to do. She's leaning towards marriage and family therapy, being a therapist. And, she's changed her mind several times, as many of our kids do. When they get through college, it's really difficult. There's so many choices, I think, out there right now for kids that it's hard to determine what you really want to do, because you have multiple likes, multiple strengths. So she's trying to decide. She's going through the decision-making process right now. It's really, balancing your career, family, and having adequate time for yourself is really a tough endeavor.
So what do you do?
Like,
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you what do you do I know I have my own thinking there with four kids, a husband, a business, and you know all those things too. But what have you found? Is there any key to success there? Do you have to be at home with the kids, or can you work and have kids? And there's a lot in the news right now that actually says at home moms are more prone to depression than moms that work. There's a huge, in the past 2 weeks in the media, everybody's been, fighting back and forth between the at-home moms and the working moms. Do you have a stance on that or any thoughts?
Right, well, I really respect at-home moms significantly because raising children is a very difficult job and very demanding. And
slightly.
You can do both, and you can do both successfully. You have to make little sacrifices, obviously, along the way. But, if you do a few things like don't overcommit yourself, don't promise things you can't deliver, especially to your children. You need to be open and you need to be honest, and, you need to allow some time for yourself, because you really have to, be able to relax a little bit. And
yeah.
Great things come to you. Great ideas come to you when you step away from, all of your commitments. So I think it's really, really quite nice. And with great time management tools like we have today, mm-hmm. iPads, computers, smartphones, and, of course, good old-fashioned pads of paper, there's really no excuse for being a poor time manager and not being able to balance both career and family and allowing adequate time for yourself. And I found that if you speak from your heart and you respect and appreciate those around you, and not only your husband, your children, or your employees, your customers, but people you meet along the way, waitresses, hairdressers, hotel clerks, everyone on your life journey, my favorite thing to do is say thank you so very much for all that you do. Appreciation goes a long way in every situation. So if you appreciate those around you and show your appreciation, and, I think your life becomes easier while you're juggling. Go ahead.
I had that thinking when you agreed to be a guest on the show. I'm like, how cool is that, that she's going to take an hour out of her life and be on my show? I think that is so neat. And it was when I first came across her, I'm like, oh, wow, she's, really the president and CEO of this huge company and stuff. I wonder if she has kids. And I did a little poking around. I'm like, yep, she has kids. And it's what came to my mind. I'm like, how in the heck do you be a president and COO and have all these cool ideas and things like that and manage kids and a husband? And I completely agree with you on all fronts that you can do everything. You can. I think we all wear a ton of different hats and stuff, but there was one key thing that you said there that I think makes everybody successful when you're doing all these things, and that's the time for yourself also. Do you find time to exercise and eat properly and things like that? Because I notice so many women. Try to is good, though, but do you take that time out for yourself like that?
Yeah, it's so important to do it. I try to, and I think, I like to tell people, okay, well, if you're healthy and you feel good, both mentally and physically, you can actually move mountains. You can do anything if you feel good. But taking that time, you have to force yourself to do it. You really just do. And I know I have a hard time of it. It's easy to say, hard to do type of thing, If you, you have to physically force yourself or incentivize yourself to do it by, offering some type of reward at the end of it to yourself. Mine is shopping. That's my reward, buying a new outfit or, helping yourself feel better, because if you exercise and you look good, you could go buy a new outfit that's a smaller size.
That's funny. We're all
so
the same, aren't we?
Yeah, you have to give yourself rewards once in a while. That's another thing I ascribe to, rewarding yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Now, is your husband really supportive of you too, with everything that you do? Because I know we in our house here, we run both businesses out of the house, and we're like a tag team. Like right now, I need to be on the radio, and so he's got the kids, and they're playing Nerf. They have a Nerf war going on outside.
See, that's great.
I have little
kids.
Mine are 10, 12, 14,
supportive.
And 16. Yeah. Do you have that?
Life's a lot easier.
Yeah.
When your husband is supportive, for sure. Yes, mine is too. He's very supportive as well. He was always there for the kids, and as was my parents, as was my sister-in-law, my husband's sister. So we really were blessed with that. You know, it's so very important, and it's so very difficult, you know, for single parents to do so. But building a good support system around you always helps. I mean, you have to build that support system, even if you don't have a husband or, you know, your parents have passed on. You need to build that support system for yourself, and there's always ways to do that.
Yeah, speaking of that, Ellie, we have never lived near family, really. We always have had to get on airplanes to go visit family in Minnesota. And so I agree with you, especially, you know, being in a new place or new environment, you know, finding support is key. I put an ad in the paper one time that said, free the parents. And she said my phone number. You know, that kind of thing. And so we've had great babysitters while the kids were young, so we could make sure that Sunday was date day, you know, and things like that, so that we had our own time too. So it's a clever balance, though, isn't it, between husband and wife time, kid time, work time, your own self time. It's a lot of, you know, juggling, isn't it, a little bit? I hate to use the word juggling, but I do.
It is like that. It's managed juggling, though. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
And sometimes those pins drop on your head. But,
but
you just have to shake it off and go on, right?
Yeah, you know, and I wondered what you think on the whole, like, every day has to be perfect kind of thinking. Does every day have to be perfect?
Not at all. If you have those types of expectations, you're not going to be very happy in life.
No.
There's always things that go wrong, always. And, you know, if you take them in your stride and, you know, like I say, there's always a solution. You know, there's always a way to looking at things. I mean, you can look at things in one way and perceive them in a negative way, and, you know, you're going to have a bad reaction that way. But if you perceive them in a more positive way, your reaction will be better. You'll feel better. I try to take on adversity and, you know, just with humor, laugh with it, laugh at it, but just plow right through it, you know. And the more people try to knock you down, the more you need to just stand up and show them that you're, you know, stronger than they would ever think you are and you'd ever even think you are. So, you know,
that's
most powerful motivator is when someone tells you you can't do something.
Isn't it?
To me, at least, anyway, right?
Oh, I have never, I got to tell you, I've owned this Best Ever You network for 3 years now, and it started up as this little tiny thing. And people thought I was crazy. What are you doing? Go get a real job. Why are you still doing that? You know, on and on and on and on. And today it is what it is. You know, it's not Oprah or anything yet.
but it has the potential to be that and more, and it's great. It is great. You must be so happy that you did this. What an empowering thing to do. It's wonderful.
It's kind of like you do what you love to do. And I love that's one of the things that you said, because when it all fits with your background, you know, like you can tell you love animals and now you know why you love animals, and when your job doesn't feel like work, it's kind of cool. It's a totally different thing. I'm waiting for you to say, do what you love to do. Because it doesn't. Is that who you are?
Yes, I love that. I love that line. Do what you love to do, and you'll never work a day in your life.
That is
the most wonderful thing. Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, that is so true.
Because like right now, I don't feel like I'm working. I feel like I'm on the phone.
No.
Chat. Yeah, and I love it. It's my favorite thing to do. Yeah. And I want to talk to you a little bit about get back on track here and talk to you a little bit about businesses and the economy and so forth first. But before we get too serious about, you know, number crunching and things like that, I want to ask you a question about cows. You said you have cows. I love cows, and you knew this question was coming, I think. I warned you. Cows. How do you have a cow as a pet? Is that just farms and things like that?
The cows are our production.
That's not a cow.
Right. They're actually not considered to be pets as a cow, but
they
some
aren't.
People have cows as pets. Some people do.
But, I don't really want a cow.
Especially if they live on a farm. You know,
adopt
they
a
don't
cow.
Use the, they don't use the cow as an actual production animal. Cows produce meat. They produce milk. They produce, you know, many wonderful things. And, No, that's the production animal. That's the ag side and pet ag.
Yeah, no. So how do you, I know.
Not the pet one, it's the ag.
They're so cute. I love to go to the state fairs and see all the cows. I'm from Iowa originally, so that's
oh, yeah,
the cow in me.
Oh, yeah,
the corn
yeah,
and the
so many
and
different
the
varieties of them, too.
They have the neatest cow. I'd never seen one before. It's a belted Galloway. I call it an Oreo cow, where it's brown and then white in the middle and then brown. Those are so cute. Anyway, I love cows. But so does your business actually support farms? Does your food go on to farms?
It does a feed supplement, actually.
Okay.
Yes, it does it. The production side of it. Our product is a supplement for feed, and it's mixed into feed rations and such, various
Got
feeds
it.
That are given to. Yeah, exactly. It's
you're in California,
Bospro.
Right? What is it called?
Yes, Bospro.
Okay.
Bospro and Fermacto is for poultry and swine. Fermacto.
Okay.
And
we have a lot of listeners in
for
Iowa. Yeah, a chicken. It's funny. Yeah, we have a lot of
pigs.
Listeners. Yeah, in Iowa. But I noticed you were from California, and they have a saying on TV in California, like California cows are the happiest cows, and it must be because of you.
Yeah, very happy. They're very happy for
yeah,
sure.
They're cute. Okay. Sorry, I had to do the cow thing.
Iowa cows
all right.
are great, though, too. I mean, the Midwestern cattle produce great beef. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The beef capital, right?
Yeah, well, you know, just growing up in Iowa and everything, you know, we always saw the cows. So I think, you know, a lot of us, you know, just seem to love cows, whatever. But I'm glad to hear that they're healthy and so forth because of all the great things that you guys are giving them to supplement their diet, which is neat. So something people might not know. That's cool. But you can't have a cow as a pet. Okay, so for running, the economy is interesting. Is it still interesting for your business?
Definitely is creating a very difficult environment. I think people are afraid to spend. They just are. And, you know, they're afraid to spend on anything that's not a necessity. And until I think things changed a bit in our economic situation, more people go back to work. And, you know, I think it's going to be that way. I think this is the shape of the future. I really do, because people find that, you know, they don't really need to spend on things that are not a necessity. And it's changing the way consumers are thinking. And, you know, it's up to us as manufacturers of supplements to make and choose to make our products a necessity.
Yeah.
And which, you know, we feel and we market our products as a necessity for health and nutrition. And it's really important to have a healthy pet, just as important as it is for, you know, us to be healthy. It's important for our pets to be healthy as well and to live longer lives and to prolong their lives if you can, because if you're supplementing correctly, if you're feeding correctly, if you're exercising with your pet, you can prolong their life. It's just like us. We can live longer lives if, you know, we do all of the appropriate things. And, you know, so that's what we, you know, seek to do as manufacturers.
Do you think if you're going to have a pet, that you really should make it in your heart and in your dedication to the animal to do you think you should have that as an expense? You know, if you're going to have an animal, expect that there's going to be a certain level of expense with the animal, or don't have a pet at all?
I totally agree with that theory. Absolutely, you have to. With your pet is like your child. When you have children, you have expenses. When you have pets, you have expenses. And you want the pet to be healthy. You want, you know, the pet is a part of your family. And so, you know, there definitely are expenses when raising family members.
Well, that's what we do.
That and treat them as a child, as you would your own child. You know, you wouldn't want to treat them any differently.
So let's take our household, for example. Just as a, you know, we're a typical household. We have three cats, an 85-pound Labradoodle, three shelter cats, four kids, and two working parents. So we're, you know, maybe a little bit more kids than the average family, but, you know, pretty normal. The kids go to the wellness checks. The cats and dogs go to the wellness checks also. We kind of do them all at the same time because we treat the animals like the family members. And, You know, we get the pet food at the veterinarian, and that's that's what the animals eat, and that's the expense. Is that the right thing to do? In other words, should you go to the grocery store and get your pet food, you know, right there at the grocery store too? Does that make you a bad pet parent?
Today are getting better brands in. I mean, it used to be where, you know, the grocery store didn't have the best for the pets. Now they're realizing that they really need to bring in some better products. But we're big advocates of your local pet store because they'll spend more time with you. They will, talk to you about the various products. Their workers are better educated on pets and the products that are available for them. And so, and it seems like because of the rise of the big superstores and, you know, grocery bringing in brands that were available in pet stores, it's hurt some of the smaller size pet stores. So we're really big advocates of supporting the smaller
pet stores.
And and then even the pet specialty chains or the pet specialty segment of the industry, which is far more specific to your needs than as a pet owner than the grocery store.
Got it. Okay.
You know, so, the grocery only has a small amount of space compared to a pet store, so they can't showcase all of the products. And a lot of the brands that are in pet specialty, they'll not sell all of those brands to grocery because they don't want to disrupt the distribution in pet specialty.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I wondered because, in a challenging economy, and people, cut expenses and things like that, I wondered if people are inclined to say, that's all right, Fido, we're going to buy what's on sale at the grocery store. And I wondered if that's part of your consumer's mindset and how you would overcome that. You know, how you would tell somebody, no, don't do that. You need to be feeding the dog, our food or food from a pet store or a veterinarian because here's a difference in the food.
Definitely. You have to reach out to them. We actually don't manufacture food per se. Ours is all supplements and
supplements,
juice,
right.
Things, right. But really, that just to get anything that's on sale and give it to your dog is just like buying anything for yourself.
That's what I was getting at, yeah. It just doesn't.
Exactly.
I don't think you do that with
do
your
that.
Family, your kids.
But people do, I mean, that is being done, that is definitely being done, but it's just, trying to put the education out there to change that mindset. And that's what we're trying to do with our website and all, and, just trying to educate and make sure people are aware of the fact that, you don't want to do this for yourself. Don't do this for your pets either.
Okay. And I know people do the best that they can do, of course, so if that's what somebody needs to do, we're not condoning it, telling them not to, would you say, I used the wrong word there, we are condoning it if that's the best for them and so forth, but would you say that if somebody needs to do that, perhaps that they should contact you on the website or their veterinarian for your supplements if somebody does need to do that?
Mm-hmm, definitely. They should. They can come right on to the website. They can talk to their veterinarian. Our supplements are excellent. And there's just, full descriptions and information about, tips for senior pets, tips for caring for senior pets, tips for caring for newborn pets. And we've got all of that on our website. Tips on pet obesity.
Yeah, well, where I was kind of going with that is I'm seeing so many people have to give up their pets because they can't afford them. They can't afford to feed them, and they can't afford the expense of having an animal. And so I'm trying to create situations where maybe people feel like, I don't need to give up my pet. I think people feel guilty if they can't afford the very best for their animal. They feel like they better not have the animal anymore. I've heard so many things. We volunteer a lot for the shelter here locally, and I see a lot of animals come in for those reasons. Do you think it's okay, if that's what you had to do, would you rather see somebody go to the grocery store and buy them cheaper food than give up their animal for adoption, or would you rather see them give the animal up? I'm just curious.
No, not to give it up, no. I'd rather see them, buy cheaper food and eventually, they'll get back on their feet. And, hopefully this economic crunch is temporary. I mean, yeah. You know, we're all very optimistic about the fact that, you know, maybe next year we'll see some improvement. But, no, you know what? It's so sad. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just so sad. And we've seen it a lot. We're heavily involved in the equine marketplace because we produce products, foal milk replacer, and also supplements for horses called Folac and Miracoat, which is the skin and coat supplement. But we see this with horses. They are abandoning their horses, and it's just so very sad because, you know, there is help out there. And, you know, if you reach out, you can maybe find it and get it. And, you know, you don't want to give up your pet. You really just don't.
Yeah.
Because the pet, you know, and that'll cause more pain and suffering than if you kept your pet and lost your job. You know, if you know, your pet is your companion and your go-to person.
When you lose your job. Yeah, exactly.
That can compensate, you know, for some of us. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no,
yeah.
No, I'm totally not about giving up your pet, no.
Okay, yeah, no, I was just curious because, you know, it's all over the place with, you know, all the different products and choices and the economy and all, you know, all those different things. But I do want to go back to, and, you know, I've been fired from one job before when I was a kid in college from TCBY for filling up the ice creams too full. Ice cream cones too full. Isn't that funny? And that's who I hugged was my cat. I cried right on my cat. So
right,
exactly, totally
exactly,
yeah,
because they're the best listeners.
So cute. Yeah. Anyway, all right. But back to running the actual business. Do you have any tips that you can give a woman entrepreneur for running or starting up a business?
Mm-hmm.
We're getting that question.
The most important tip is surround yourself with great people. The greatest assets in any person's business as a startup, even as on an ongoing basis, is people. And if you have a great support system and you treat those people well, you offer positive reinforcement, they're going to work as if it's their own business. And, you know, we as a company are blessed with wonderful, wonderful people within our organization, and that's so very important. It's really, and people who have stayed with us for so many years, many, many, many years, 20 and 30.
That's so cool. Yeah, they must love you guys. You can tell it's in your personality to just love people. So I bet it's a great company to work for, and you guys seem like you're doing great things. And I want to just tell you, we only have a few more minutes left. Would you believe an hour has gone by? We have about 3 minutes left in our conversation. So I'm wondering if there's anything that I haven't asked you that you want to touch on before we go.
Basically, a few things to touch on is just knowing when your pet becomes a senior. There's such a misconception out there about when a pet starts aging and when they need supplementation. All aging pets need supplementation, and you really can't prolong your pet's life if you give them the supplementation they need. And our products, Catsure and Dogsure and Joint Solution and Energel and other gel supplements that we produce are a must for preventative life stage nutrition. Also, I wanted to say that if you believe in yourself, and this applies to when you're starting your own business, if you believe in yourself and you have confidence in your abilities, you speak with conviction, others will follow you. You'll never go wrong. You have to believe in yourself. And please follow PetAg on Facebook and Twitter, and it's facebook.com/PetAg Products, all one word, PETAG Products, and the same thing with the Twitter hashtag. It's the same, the PetAg Products.
Products, yeah. So PETAGPRODUCTS. So Pet Egg Products. Yeah, that's on Twitter. And I'll put all that information out, too. I'm going to do a little banner on the homepage of Best Ever You. And we've got a contest going. You can join our network and post your videos or photos of your pet and tell us why you think they're the best. And We have some great products that you're giving away, and we thank you for that. And I just sort of want to wind up, and I hope you come on as a guest again, because I know we could probably talk for 2 more hours and still, you know, talk about in more depth about business and running a business and so forth. And it's been really nice, though, for everybody to just simply get to know you at this point. And I hope you come on again.
Great. I would love to. Thank you so much for having me, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Your show is wonderful, and I really, really appreciate all that you're doing to help people. And this is great.
Thank you. And
best
okay,
of
so,
luck and great job.
Thank you. Well, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Darlene. That's Darlene Fradakis from PetAg. It's PETAG.com for being on our show today. And you can follow her on Twitter. It's just at PetAg Products, and that's AG in the middle there, products. And you can find them on Facebook now, too. And I just thank you so much for joining us. And join us. I think we're going to take, I think we're coming back after Labor Day, or next Thursday, actually, for another show. And happy school, everyone. Happy back to school. And all you moms out there, rest. Take a breath when they go back to school. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a few days off. So, all right, Darlene, I hope you have a great day. And thanks again.
Thank you, and have a great day also. Thank you. All right.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. Great. And I love Darlene's words, believe in yourself, and everyone will follow. So thank you, everybody. Have a great day from all of us at Best Ever You.